an AppleViz original.
It is 2020. Everything is upside down. We have just watched an October Apple event with new iPhones. My name is Dave Nason. This is the AppleViz Extra, and I'm joined by my wonderful friends and colleagues from AppleViz. We have Scott Dabbert, Thomas Donville, and Tyler Stephen. What we did have today that was interesting was Apple's high-speed event, which introduced new iPhones, the long-awaited iPhone 12, and a new mini HomePod. So let's get into talking about what it was that they showed us and what we made of it all. It was a pretty, they were straight into it, I got to say. Tim Cook came on the stage. There was nothing about numbers or, you know, the usual marketing stuff that they put at the start. He was just straight in there with, hello, here's some new stuff. So I don't know if that jumped out at anyone else.
Definitely. I noticed that too. It was like, wow, there aren't any numbers, nothing. It was just like straight to it. It was like, I love the auto description, was good as always. And I just thought that you could tell that the quality they were trying to do the presentation was right there. I mean, they had all these things kind of zooming in, zooming out. And like the part where in part where they were demonstrating a family using the Home Mini, right? And at the very end, one of the manager comes in front of them. So it wasn't like they were separate. It was like, oh, this was. And so it was. But, you know, even though without all those useless facts, I thought they presented way more details than usual and the devices themselves.
Definitely, yeah. It was a slick operation, I think, again today. I think we're getting used to these, you know, this is the third, I think, event that we've had of this non-live kind of event. And, yeah, I think they're pretty slick, actually. And it was just over an hour, I think, an hour, 10 minutes thereabouts. So they packed a fair bit in there. They kicked off with the HomePod Mini. So obviously there's the main HomePod has been out for how long now? 3 or 4 years or something? And quite expensive and hasn't, by all accounts, been a huge success. This one comes in at a much, much more reasonable $99. And apart from that, like they're sticking to, you know, the main points of it are, you know, very much high quality audio. They claim very good Siri intelligence. That's obviously debatable depending on who you speak to. And some cool new features like intercom. So do any of you guys have HomePods as it is? Because I know I don't. I'm on the Echo family.
Yeah, I don't have a HomePod either. I just have an Echo.
Yeah, I don't have a HomePod, the full version either. I went with the A-Lady platform. I won't say the name. By the way, somebody was tweeting that every time they would say, hey, S-I-R-I, Siri kept activating on their phone. You know, that's kind of a problem.
I'm ditto with all of you guys. I don't think any of us have a HomePod, and it's just kind of costly.
Yeah, so would this one then tweak your interest, Thomas?
It does. Now it's $99. Yeah, I definitely will sit down and take a look at it. I am seriously thinking about it. That is within the price I would pay for something like that. I have been debating whether to get another Echo, since we already have, I think in our house, we have one Echo and two Dots, and not that this would work with it, but I really like the fact of how it works in the entire Apple ecosystem. That's the only big points I like about it. I mean, the only drawback I have with the Home still is it doesn't have any skills. That can mean a lot of ways. Siri is one of those. But I am seriously thinking about it. I think I will ask for one for Christmas. I think it's worth it, and I know it's going to be pretty cool. I think it'll just be a lot better because I probably definitely will take advantage more of the message, emails, and other things that come through my phone. Now it'll come through this HomePod instead. I like that. I know that HomePod originally was designed to do that, but for $99. And the intercom kind of makes me laugh. It's kind of like, well, they already had this for a long time on the Echo, but it's good to see that they're doing it. So yes, I am interested in.
Do you think people use intercom? Because it reminded me a little bit of walkie-talkie on the watch, where, you know, we all thought, oh, that's a cool little feature, and nobody ever used it. I know I've never used it on the Echo myself. So,
well, we do, because we have the two dots for that reason. So there's one downstairs, okay, because they can never hear us telling when dinner's ready. So now we just say, you know, we just use the intercom and say, hey, dinner's ready. Believe it or not, we do use it. And so that would be useful, but not the deal breaker that I would, the only reason why I would get it.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. And the handoff, I got to say, yeah, you're right. The integration with Apple, other Apple devices, providing it all works as it's supposed to, is very cool to be able to get information from apps on your phone and to be able to hand music and things like that off between the two by just tapping, I think, was that? Did I pick that up right? You kind of moved your phone near to the HomePod and it just kind of transfers the audio.
The $99 price point is a heck of a lot better. I have heard even a stereo pair of HomePods, and they did sound good, but I mean, for the price, I just, for me personally, it wasn't really a thing. My parents have it, and they like it well enough, but $99 is a lot more reasonable. But, you know, with Prime Day going on right now, for Prime members, the Echo Dot third generation is going for like $18.70 or something like that. Will I get one? I might. Will I check it out in an Apple store if they ever open? For sure. What I think is neat about it is that they're finally opening up to other third-party services. And I think that's going to make a big, big difference, even more so than the price point itself, because that's where a lot of the HomePod stuff has been lacking, not having the option for third-party services, streaming services, or any large number of other things, you know, and certainly if you're a HomeKit user and you don't have a HomePod, now is going to be a great time for you to jump in, you know, at $99 as opposed to what you would have paid before.
Yeah, did you notice they made a couple jabs? I think nobody, some people might have gotten it, some people don't. One, the jab, I thought when they mentioned that, they mentioned every music service except for Spotify and Tidal.
I did notice Spotify wasn't mentioned.
And that's why I wouldn't get to. I can get into why, but I use Spotify over Apple Music, and I have my reasons.
I wouldn't make the assumption that Spotify isn't available, though. It may just have been a case of not wanting to mention them on stage, because I think they'd be shooting themselves in the foot by not supporting what is probably the biggest streaming service in the world, I would have thought.
Yeah, because I have an Echo, and my family has a Spotify account, like a Spotify family account, and so that's what I use. And if I couldn't use that on a HomePod, I wouldn't think about getting one, because I wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel, get into a different ecosystem for music. I wouldn't want to change into a different streaming service just to get a HomePod. Although it would be cool if I could use Spotify on it, to have my phone and speaker integrate natively.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was wondering is, well, are we able to stream music from the phone? Because if you can do that, you can bring up the Spotify app and do it. I mean, it's not the same, you know, it's not natively integrated. The other reason why I don't use Apple Music is kind of along the lines of what you were talking about, Tyler, with the family share. When you do family share with Apple Music, you are tying all of the people who are in your family share plan to one payment method, unless that's changed in the last few months. Whereas Spotify, you know, $14.99 a month, and you don't have to worry about anybody, you know, having to purchase apps for themselves through your credit card or anything else. It's just, it's completely its own thing. And it just, in my opinion, some of the licensing that's been going on, I found when I was using Apple Music a little while ago, I kind of, you know, I reevaluate probably once every year just to see what's going on. And when I was using Apple Music, there were tracks that were not available in the United States that I wanted to hear, and Spotify had them. So those are the reasons why I don't go with Apple Music.
Yeah. Well, you can AirPlay even on the existing HomePod. You can AirPlay to from your phone to that. So that answers that part of it. But yeah, I get you with Spotify that a lot of people prefer it. So I think hopefully it is supported, because I mentioned Pandora and a few others. So fingers crossed. I think the only other cool feature that jumped out to me, and again, well, it depends how effective it is the fact that you can have multiple people signed in essentially to it, and it says it'll recognize the who it is that's speaking and, you know, give them their information, which I think is a, yeah, if it works well, that's really, really useful.
No, I think that that option is really cool. I think I'm going to like that a lot, since all of us are Apple users here. And so to have that individualized to that person by profiles, that's a big plus for me too. And I think that's why I'll also consider that for the purchase.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. Unless anyone else has any other points on the HomePod, I think we can move on. So to recap,
Oh, I was just going to say briefly, it's interesting the multi-user support that's been gradually expanding on Apple platforms. Obviously, the Apple TV, you know, multiple users. Now the HomePod, you know, multiple users. And the Mac, you've been able to have multiple users since 1998. But one platform that doesn't, and I find this interesting, is particularly iPadOS. I mean, maybe iOS if someone was sharing an iPhone, but I think more practically for something on iPadOS, for people who, you know, who use one iPad but want, you know, separate user accounts on each one. And that's been a feature that has been on a lot of pro-ish wish lists, you know, feature wish lists each year for iPadOS, and it's never materialized, which I find that interesting. But I wonder if now if they're having ways to tie HomePods to multiple Apple IDs, I'm wondering if they're, you know, they're looking at least trying that for iPadOS.
Oh, I'm sure they've thought about it. It's not something they can't do. It's something they've chosen not to do up to now. So who knows? iPadOS 15, here we come, maybe. But yeah, it is a very fair point. So recapping on the HomePod, it's $99 and it is shipping in November. You can begin ordering on the 6th of November if you are interested in getting one of them. It's in a range of countries, including US, Canada, UK, France, Germany, Japan, Taiwan, Australia, and a few others. Unfortunately, not mine. So it's not even a question whether I'm getting one, because I can't.
Now, here's my question. Now, here's my question to Thomas. You said you're going to order one. Are you going to wait to hear what it sounds like, or are you just going to go ahead on pre-launch day, go ahead and order it?
I think I'm going to go ahead and order it pre-launch day. I pretty much, it's one of those things, I pretty much trust Apple's. And remember, this is just a mini. I'm not buying this for a stereo. Essentially, I'm just replacing this with my dot or something.
Okay.
Oh, we'll look forward to hearing what you think of it. Next up then, we were taken to the iPhone 12. And it seems year on year, or not quite every year, but they're expanding this lineup over time. So we used to just have the iPhone. And now, as well as the SE coming out in February, I believe it was, thereabouts, we had four new iPhones released today, four iPhone 12s. So we had the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 mini, and then we had two Pro versions, which is the iPhone 12 Pro and the Pro Max. They've changed some screen sizes as well. So now the iPhone, what was the iPhone 11, is now the 12, the sort of regular everyman's iPhone sort of thing. That's still 6.1 inches, but the iPhone Pro is now also 6.1 inches. And then there is a new mini-sized one, which is only 5.4 inches. And then the Max has grown as well, and that is now 6.7 inches. So there's everything from 5.4 up to 6.7, the big, big range. Some of the other key points, new design. So it's actually sounds and looks a lot like the iPhone 5, really. In terms of the design, it's kind of flat edges. Maybe it sounds like it's thinner, but that kind of design with the sharp edges, flat edges around the side of it. And they spoke about a new, better glass display, which they do most years. They talked about a difference between the two the 12 and the 12 Pro would be the glass back on the Pro and stainless steel. I think they're some of the highlights. So, Tyler, what else jumped out as the highlights of the iPhone 12 to you?
Well, 5G, obviously. And they did, I noticed something that's interesting today. They spent a lot of time talking about specifically Verizon 5G. And I don't know if that's because of their specific network enhancements, their ultra wideband 5G. I don't have Verizon, so I don't know. And even if I did, I don't think I'm in Maine. I don't think that's a 5G area where 5G has been deployed for any carrier. But I thought that was interesting. The Pro models of the iPhone 12 have a LiDAR scanner, which is interesting going forward. I wonder what that could mean for things like AR. And one thing that comes to mind is there is an app that I tried a while back, Clue. I don't know if it, you guys ever use it.
Yep.
It's a way to map your routes. So if you can't see, it would, you map them out once and then it would tell you, it would direct you there. And when I tried it, it was very much a proof of concept. It wasn't something that I would use a lot, but I thought it was interesting, you know, rather than using standard GPS or other, or compass, other navigation things, use the camera and the AR power of iOS devices. And looking toward the future, the increased precision of LiDAR, I wonder, you know, if that could open the door to even more precise things like that. And, you know, if developers will take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think it could. You know, you think about things like indoor mapping. That could really be a huge thing, because not only would you have the data feedback, but you would also have something which could take live you know, video or photos, probably video, and send that, you know, kind of like you have with GPS, which is much less complicated, but it's the same concept. The map is on board and, you know, the software does the translation of, okay, these are your coordinates. Here's what's around you and here's how far you are from X, Y, and Z. My thought is, with this new technology, are we going to finally see indoor mapping really take off? Because let's face it, I mean, 5G is great if it does what they say it's going to do. But particularly with the millimeter wave band, you're going to have to be in a very, very densely populated area with a ton of towers. I don't know if I'd call them towers. The 5G... the 5G stuff is actually pretty small.
Like the beacons, right?
Yeah, it's like the size of a coffee can, you know, because it can be, because you're at such high frequencies. Anyway, so if they have that, say, at a major sporting event or maybe a huge mall, like Mall of America, for example, you know, well, there's a lot of things companies could do with that if they embrace it. So I think really this is the start of what the future will hold for everyone, really. Unfortunately, it's just the start. So right now we don't have like all these amazing things to talk about, because kind of like all this machine learning we had in iOS 14 with sound recognition and voiceover recognition, you know, these things are definitely works in progress. They have a lot of potential in the future. We're just now starting to see the results of some of, you know, what's been going on the last few years. You know, when they can take 5G and some of this other technology and apply it to machine learning, it's going to make for a very interesting future, I think.
Yeah, they really went big on 5G. Really, really did. And I think you're right. I think 5G, for me anyway, wouldn't be a reason to buy a phone right now. I just don't... A, you know, probably it's not widespread coverage yet. And B, I don't know, I'm not convinced yet that the difference is going to make be life-changing, but it is. It's good that Apple are on board with 5G now, and generally when Apple gets on board with the technology, it does speed it. It can, you know, it is when it's accelerating anyway. So I think it will be good, but like you say, yeah, I don't think you need it today necessarily. That would be my thinking anyway. And LiDAR, yeah, I think that's a wait and see for me. I could see how it could have applications that we would find useful as vision impaired users, but what they are, I'm not sure yet.
My takeaway with the whole iPhone 12 is a couple of things. Boy, they used a lot of new names today. Like, we're going to hear a lot about this ceramic shield. They made it so like, wow, Superman, ceramic shield. And that was just the new glass. You know, it was supposed to be four times tougher than it was before. But I could just still see somebody dropping their phone and still breaking it. I mean, it's still there. Okay, so my takeaway on it is definitely the 5G. I was very happy to hear that the 5G high-low frequency were available for all devices. All four devices got the same treatment. The screen, all four got the same treatment. Now they have all four of them have OLED Super Retina HDR screens. So that was really nice to see the equal treatment. What scared me a little bit is the antenna now is on the rim like they did back in the iPhone 4. And I don't know, I had that. And I remember the huge debacle with you were holding your phone wrong. You were holding your phone wrong. And people that don't know about this is that the antenna, your calls would drop a lot because it's just the way you hold your device. And Steve was telling us you're not holding it right. But anyhow, it got me kind of going, oh, not the rim antenna again. And I've
Thomas,
heard,
they're not going to go. That they're, I mean, the 4S, the 5, the 5S, the SE, they all have that thing. I think they're past that issue.
I think so too. And I read an article that they improved on that rim antenna, and they had to go with the antenna because of the 5G. One thing I was reading, and kind of just to help you a little bit, that the 5G isn't a big deal. Apple is not really disclosing this, but they're going to have an auto data selection for this 5G, 4G thing. So let me explain this. What they didn't tell you is that 5G will only kick in when you need heavy downloading, uploading. So if you're doing streaming or video calls, the 5G will kick in. And if you're doing Twitter and email, the 4G will kick in. And the reason they're doing this is what my other fear, and I think I have a legit fear on this one, though, and that is to do with battery. There was no details, zero on battery details, and that scares me a little bit.
That's true. They usually always say,
hey, it's an hour better or it's the same or and all that, and they didn't mention that at all. And so I think this auto data saving is just to prove it that the 5G is going to be battery hungry, and that's why they didn't announce 120 frame rates for the Pro, is because it was too intensive for the battery. So we'll have to wait and see, because there's no battery statistics at this point. So when they get their hands on it, we'll know more about the battery and probably the reason behind it. That's the only concern I have, especially on the Mini, because it's smaller. You're going to have smaller batteries, so your battery life is going to be smaller. So you got to think about that. And obviously with the bigger Pros, the battery life is going to be better on those, just simply because it's got bigger real estate for the battery. The other takeaway I like about it is the MagSafe. So this is...
I was about to say that one.
That is huge on me because I've always loved wireless charging. But the two getaway I didn't like about it is that you got to place it just right. Otherwise, it's going to creep slow charge if you don't have it right spot on. If you put it right in the middle, it charges faster. But you're only... I think it was only 7 watts back then. And so it was still slow, so I just gave up on it, and I just used my plug. But now this will make sure you get the center sweet spot for the charging, plus you get a 15-watt charging. I am curious what that means in terms of charging compared to plugging the phone in. I don't know, but just knowing that, I was, wow, this is kind of cool. So obviously they made a lot of hoorahs about that. For me,
and a whole range of new accessories to go with it by the look of it.
Right, all the accessories, this and that and this and that. I was thinking price, too much. The LiDAR, I agree with all of you. Unfortunately, you know, all they talked about LiDAR in this circumstance, and it makes a lot of sense, is two reasons. One is the focus is now 6 times faster or something like that. So you don't get any blurred pictures as you do. Because my wife uses her phone. And even with the high speed frame rate, she still gets blurs. And I said, how is that possible? So I guess that's supposed to improve the blurriness. LiDAR is also supposed to help you dramatically see more nighttime pictures because it's able to scope it all out in 3D and come back. For our users, it's way too early. Because the limitation of the field, we're only talking about 15, 16 feet, maybe, what did I hear, 4 meters, and what it can see in front of you. The only thing I can think it would help you is what Tyler mentioned was in Clue. I think that might help dramatically on that and make things better. I also see this being a great option to have for obstruction or things that's in your path. It will be able to detect it way better than just a camera did in a pass. I honestly can't see this using on a map walking around. I really don't, because the reason I say that means they would have to map things 3D everywhere, and that's not going to happen. At least not yet. So if you can, they got cameras on the maps, yes, but those are not in LiDAR 3D sense.
I could see it for, as Scott said, for indoor mapping, where you maybe a shopping center or something, because they're defining this is where the wall is, this is where the doors are, and then your LiDAR could pick up exactly help pinpoint your exact location in relation to those things, you know. But again, I think it's going to be a couple of years before we really know.
The only reason I have doubts is that it has to have mapping again. So you need to know this rack of clothes is here or there before you can take a left or right. So it's not going to, and those racks moves every so often. So the signs and things like that. So
that level of detail.
I just can't see this working with LiDAR quite yet. I'm not saying this is total doubt. I'm just thinking what my mind at this moment without knowing all the specifics. So those are all my takes. This will be the first time I will probably, I'm about 80 to 90% sure I'm going to go with the iPhone 12 mini. This will be the first time I haven't picked a Pro in probably 2-3 years.
Really? Okay. Because I got the 11 last year. I didn't go for the Pro because I didn't see. Really, now it looks like the Pro, the key difference is camera.
Oh, definitely. And videos.
That's what they're selling it on, you know. And I just don't obviously take enough photos and videos for that to be worth it. And yes, LiDAR and nicer materials. But right now, that's not worth an extra €300 for me, or probably more than that. $300 anyway for you guys. So yeah, I'm right there with you on that. There's a few new colors, by the way, for those who are interested. So you've got the iPhone 12 and 12 mini have now 5 options. You've got black, white, green, blue, and product red. And the Pro has, I believe, was it black, silver, gold, or maybe it was space gray, silver, gold, I'm not sure, and Pacific blue.
Now, what phones do you, Tyler and Scott, have?
I have an iPhone SE spotted earlier this year in April when it launched. So
you have an SE 2020?
Yeah. It's got it's good. It's got the, you know, the A13, which was until today, the fastest chip in a smartphone. And it suits my needs well. I wasn't real crazy about Face ID because I thought about getting an iPhone this time last year. I thought about getting an iPhone 11 Pro because it was the smallest screen. The 5.8-inch screen was the closest thing to the 4.7-inch form factor that I was used to. But the persistent rumors of the SE held me back until the spring of this year.
And I have the XR as my one, my personal phone, and the SE 2020 as my work phone. And I am pretty happy with what I have. I was going to upgrade the XR to a 12 if they had Touch ID, which they do not. But the main reason I'm not upgrading, one of them, is, you know, this 5G was supposed to be a big thing, and it will eventually be, but the growing pains between LTE/4G and 5G are much more dramatic than what you saw here in the United States anyway. I don't know how it is across the ocean, but
the growing pains between 4G and 5G are significantly higher than what we experienced with going from 3G to 4G. You know, there were growing pains with that too, but they were not as painful as what we are experiencing now. If you've run a 5G phone, which not too many people have, it's only been available on Android devices, of course. But you know, you really at this point anyway, you really have to be essentially line of sight from the tower to be able to get a good transfer speed on 5G. The things I was reading were that LTE was actually significantly faster at this point than 5G. And I remember back in the days when we kind of transitioned out of 3G into 4, we had some of this stuff going on, but this time it seems a lot more challenging, you know, and a lot of that stems from what I said earlier about, you know, the frequencies. Even the low band is, while it's more reliable than the millimeter wave, it's not going to be quite the step up from 4G to 5G like you had from 3 to 4. It'll be faster than 4G, but because you're at a lower frequency and the way the system works, as I understand it, the transfer rates, you know, they'll be faster, a little faster on the low band of 5G, which if I remember correctly, 700 megahertz, and it'll go farther, but you're not going to get these huge jumps in speed like you would from the millimeter band. So all that to say, I'm sitting this one out. I was hoping if they had Touch ID, you know, the SE has terrible battery life, the SE 2020. So I was like, well, hey, you know, they were talking about the in-screen Touch ID. I won't bother going into why I don't use Face ID because I've talked about that to death on these podcasts. But that's why I'm not upgrading at this time. I was hoping for the Mini, but no Touch ID and 5G not really ready yet. I'll sit this one out, I think.
That's fair. I'm with Thomas. I'm going to get the Mini, I think, more than likely. And it's really the form factor that's bringing me in. It's not really the 5G. I would have, I too was secretly hoping for that iPad Air style power button with Touch ID or in-screen Touch ID, but I wasn't holding my breath for it because there hadn't been any rumors, but it would have been nice. But yeah, I really like the look of the Mini, so I think I'm going to go with that one.
That is to come. I'm sure that new features will come next year. All the things we're looking for. So, you know, it's only going to get better from here on. I think Scott's right when it comes to 5G. It just really depends. Is your area equipped with it? And so, you know, fortunately in my area, we already have 5G. I already have friends that use 5G, and they definitely see some speed boost using the low band. Obviously, nobody's seen the high band, and I think you will only see that. We were just talking about that a little bit before the podcast. I think we're only going to see the high band in really extremely dense downtown and sport complex mostly, but I think that's going to be rare and few between. So the low band, even 30% faster would be nice, but we'll just have to wait and see. I'll definitely have to do some speed tests when I get mine.
I'm on Wi-Fi the overwhelming majority of the time. So,
yeah,
you know, either at home or even in pre-COVID days, you know, with the office or what have you. You know, when I'm out and about, I don't need, you know, 4G is kind of plenty. I know it's easy to say that because then you never want to go back to what was there before. So once you've tried 5G, you probably want to stick with it. But I won't be paying, if my carrier wants more money for 5G, I won't be paying them
anymore. I know, right? See, that's the other issue that we all have to consider about 5G, which I was totally shocked because I figured that your carrier will go ahead and give you 5G. And it depends. You need to check your carrier. That doesn't mean you get the 5G phone that you're going to get the same price. Getting 5G. I know a few carriers in the United States that are charging more if you want the 5G speed. And I was like, what? And so that's just another thing to consider, which I hadn't thought about that originally. Fortunately, mine comes with 5G, so it does not charge extra. So which is another reason why I think I'm going to do that. And before anybody asks, especially the listeners, no, none of the cases are going to carry over. every phone, every one of these are changing dimension and sizes. So a lot of people always ask, and so no, obviously, sometimes I wonder if they do that on purpose. So we have to get new cases every year.
In fairness, they kept the same from iPhone 6 through to iPhone 8. They kept things pretty much the same. But yeah, I guess they felt they were due an update. But yeah, what happens to all those cases? Because another thing that Apple talked about today was environment. And like the Apple Watch, now the iPhone 12s and I believe the iPhone 11, which is still available, will no longer ship with either the power brick or the earpods, the headphones. It will have a cable, a USB-C to Lightning cable, but no power brick and no
and no earphones. Discount. Mm-mm. No earbuds, no nothing. We're just gonna pass this saving along to you. Oh, wait a minute, they didn't do that.
And I gotta say, and I said this on the Apple Watch announcement a month ago. From an environmental standpoint, I am all for this. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think their carbon zero targets are brilliant. I think this is a good idea. But they should at the very least be offering some sort of discount voucher if you do need a power brick or some earphones, like if you're, you know, when you're buying that phone.
Oh, but don't worry, Dave. Least. I mean, put your mind at ease on this. What they have done is that Apple has released Beats Flex, which is a Bluetooth earbuds that you can buy in place of the missing earbuds that you normally get for, but it's for a low $49.
How much of a discount is that?
I don't know.
Why didn't they give us $49 off the price then of the phone?
Exactly, right? I think in the end, I'm with Dave. If I had a look at it, I get we could use some saving, but in the long run, I'm much happier just to know that there isn't going to be as much trash or things that are being left unused. A lot less things, and I was happy to hear that everything was almost 100% recyclable, including the rare earth minerals. That's huge to me. I thought that was great, and a lot of reusable materials. So they're going in the right direction, I think. With that, I'm pretty happy with it. Quite honestly, how much does a charger and an AirPod really cost? And the pod that costs them maybe $5, maybe less. So really, there probably isn't much saving to pass along to us other than if you looked at retail price.
This isn't new, but I am a huge fan of the recycling program. You know, like I had an iPod 6 that was essentially the screen was coming off. I think the battery ended up being swollen, but and I didn't even want any money for it. But it was nice to just go into the Apple store. I had to do something else there. And I'm like, you know, I can't use this iPod anymore. Why throw it away? Why put it in a junk drawer when I can take it back and at least have it recycled? And I really like that. You know, I like that they're working to not eliminate, but certainly cut down on the amount of waste they're generating. So, you know, I'm not in one of those people that are like, well, I don't care about the environment. You know, give me a little money.
True.
But at the same time, you know, yeah, I think if you're going to eliminate these things, that's fine. But pass a little bit of the savings on to the customer. Because if they had done that, right, if they had decided, you know what, we're going to give everybody a discount because we're not including these items, that's a great PR move. That's a great PR thing to say, hey, we're not only environmentally friendly, but we're more economically friendly because we're passing those savings on to you. But of course, that's not what's happening. So that was my only issue with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that, really.
I think the only thing I have left that is people should be aware of, and they kind of slid this in there really slyly, is that your regular iPhone 12 is no longer $699. It's now $799 for the regular iPhone 12. Yes, the mini is $699. But it's smaller. So I'm thinking, I thought it would be a little bit lower for the mini because of that reason.
I thought it was going to be $649 and $749.
Exactly. That's what, you know, something a little lower. So that kind of, I'm going to be really curious how the listeners really takes this. So you essentially, if you want the regular iPhone 12, you're going to pay $100 more. The other gotcha I noticed that, they mentioned the price $699 and $799. those are not the actual prices. The real price is something like $828 and $728. So it's not $699. The reason they mentioned that is because the two carriers, one of them being Verizon, is offering a $30 discount to make it $699 and $799. So it doesn't mean that all carriers. So don't be alarmed if you see the price not exactly $799 and $699. I thought, oh, how devious was that? So I just thought I'd mention that. And obviously the pro prices are still the same, $999 and $1099. The other thing they didn't mention real quick, I've heard rumors that the pros were supposed to get 128 gig minimum standard.
They said that on store. They said that on there, yeah.
Oh, good. So is the, I'm guessing the lower models is 64 gig then?
I'm guessing because they didn't point it out with the, they didn't mention it at all on the 12 and 12 mini, but on the pro they said it starts, it now starts at 128. So
there you have it.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that they're still starting at 64 on the mini and the regular, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and you just gotta. Now it becomes: do you want the standard iPhone 12 for $200 less than the Pro?
Mm.
Hard to say.
Yeah, because I do think it's. Yeah, I'd probably be sticking with my 11, as I said, if it wasn't for the. I'm just tempted by the mini aspect of the mini, if you follow me, as opposed to...
I'm totally with you. That's the only reason. I just want to make sure the antenna was going to support 5G high-low, and it has basically almost everything, the same chip. And by the way, the chip, the A14 Bionic, that was probably one of the more significant boosts from each version of the A chip I have seen in years. I know there's always been a boost, but the numbers they were talking this time was much higher than normal. It was substantially different. So I'm really excited to see what these 814 babies are going to do.
Yeah, they are going to fly. And hopefully things like our voice over recognition and all that kind of stuff will work even better, like, cause it's, and like lightning, you know?
I wonder if that is to do what you and I talked about. I think they did this and why you saw a significant boost is the ARM chips that we'll see in the silicon chips in the Mac.
And which probably means we've got another, because they didn't mention Macs today, so we've probably got another event to look forward to before the end of the year.
Either an event or a press release. Yeah. It's possible they could still, I heard latest chatter is November-ish. They're going to, some member of the MacBook family will get an Apple Silicon chip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apple. And I could see them doing an event purely because, or something, some sort of video like they did today, because it's the first one and they want to make a big deal of it, really.
There's also no love for Apple AirTags, folks. No love.
No. I've heard rumors.
Is it
that
the new AirPower? That's my question. Yeah. AirPower.
and that goes along with my AirPod Studio. I'm one of those that's going to have to wait.
Again, I think that's latest I heard was that's also November.
I also heard March for AirTags, so you never do know.
Yeah, right. I have to see it to believe it, guys.
Yeah, exactly. If people are wondering, by the way, the middle two iPhones, so to speak, the 6.1, which is the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro, are available for pre-order this Friday, the 16th, and they will ship the following week. And the Mini and the Max are available to pre-order on November the 6th, and they ship the following week then as well. So I'm a bit sad that I have to wait that little bit longer for my Mini, but there you go.
It's all right. We'll wait.
And the other piece of news that's just dropped to us as well is we believe iOS 14.1 has been released today. So people may be aware of that. There was no beta for 14.1, so we have little to no information at this point of recording, at least. But do keep an eye on the website for any news around iOS 14.1.
Good point.
I'm going to guess they fixed things and broke other things. That's my guess.
I'm going to say they didn't fix anything. That is my. We'll have to see, but I bet there are no accessibility fixes on this. We'll see.
That'll be my guess, but we will see. But 14.2 will be out before we know it, I'm sure. So that about wraps us up, I think, unless anyone has anything else they'd like to bring to the table.
No, I didn't follow the actual event, but didn't they announce something like a 4-in-1 charging option for wireless? Did I misunderstand that?
They have a new MagSafe Dual charger that will allow you to wireless charge your phone and your watch.
I didn't mention
the price, and I was trying to find one, couldn't find it. I'm sure it's not going to be cheap.
And that's probably why I didn't really find a whole lot of information. I was like, oh, because it was only one tweet that I saw, and I was like, well, that's interesting. When are they going to come out with that? And then, yeah, nothing. Speaking of air power, I hope this is not the next iteration of air power that never happens.
No, it was all based around this MagSafe thing, which is where the wireless charging kind of locks in magnetically to things. And there's a whole range of new accessories, cases, wallets, this charger, and they mentioned Belkin have already started making stuff for it. So there's going to be a whole range of new accessories with this MagSafe kind of branding idea.
Get your credit card out there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the cool thing about MagSafe is that you have feedback that you are indeed charging. I have a wireless charger here, and unless I have my hearing aids in or my phone on mute, I have no way of knowing whether it's actually charging unless I keep looking at the status bar. You know, if mute is turned off, it makes a dinging noise. It doesn't help somebody who can't hear. You know, and if the phone dies entirely, you're completely out of luck. You have no feedback as to whether the wireless charger is charging or not. So I think the MagSafe option will actually be a good one in the long run.
Yeah, I agree completely. Well, I think that wraps us up, guys. Interesting event. Great to have a whole new set of iPhones. And like we say, more choice than ever before in terms of the range there. Really looking forward to hearing what other people think. So do pop onto the website and, start chatting about these new iPhones. And let us know what you're planning to get. Tyler, Thomas, and Scott, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave, and putting up with me. It's my sixth state now that I've recorded a podcast in. So I would love to get all 50, but I don't think that's going to happen. I haven't even been to all 50.
It's good to have goals, Scott.
And thank you for having me on too, Dave. I appreciate it. And it was a cool event. And I, like you, I'm definitely want to hear what everybody has to say about this.
And the same for me. Thanks for having me on. I would recommend our listeners stay tuned, because if current rumors reports hold, sometime next month we'll see Apple Silicon Max and AirPod Studio, and possibly come March 2021. Looking ahead a little bit, maybe AirTags and a new Apple TV.
Yeah, so stay on AppleViz.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleViz.com.